This show furnished by Rowan Gervey and Wynn.
It's time for Gervey's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervey. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervey and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervey and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles. And everyone listening all over the wild, wild world on KBC.com. You know, Carrie, you don't have to just tune into 790. You can listen on KBC.com around the world, everywhere in the universe to hear Gervey's Law. I am Alan Gervey, and I am the managing partner. I like to hear music. How come the music just dies out? I don't understand radio. Carrie, you've been in radio forever.
Because you don't want to compete with it. Especially
I want to compete with it. I want to compete with anyone. I really want to compete.
You're in a mood today.
I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervey and Wynn. And today, I'm here to manage your life. That's what I'm here to do. And Carrie Kasem's here to try and calm me down, this arrogant attorney. Go ahead, Carrie. Say hi to everyone.
Oh, my God. You're in a mood. You are in a mood. It's sports, man. I'm telling you. I think it affects all men's brains. Some women. But I think sports affects, I mean, it's like seasonal problems. I dated a boyfriend who, if his team didn't win in hockey or football, it was, I wanted out. I wanted out of the relationship. He would cry. He would be in bad moods for days.
Well, you know, that's not like me at all. I am enjoying the World Series. My voice is gone from Wednesday's game. Crazy game. I can't even speak. I lost it. Okay, now the question you have to ask me.
Yes.
Is.
Did you stay for the whole game?
Yeah, everyone is asking. Folks, if you haven't heard a couple weeks ago when they were playing, the Dodgers were playing the Cubs and I left with Hudson before Justin Turner got the winning home run. I did not leave the game on Wednesday night. It was an incredible historical game, and Hudson and I were screaming so hard I lost my voice, but the Dodgers lost.
I know, but I have to say, you were there, and I know you're Canadian, so I don't know if this will mean much to you, but Vin Scully walking on the field after 67 years on radio as the Dodgers announcer, and then to have Steve Garvey and Fernando Valenzuela. I grew up with those guys.
Right.
Almost like I'm crying just talking about it. I mean, it was so emotional. Back then, when they were winning, and it was like I was more into baseball then than I am now.
Yeah.
But to have those guys on the field was amazing.
Yeah, I was in the cubicle with Hudson in the bathroom because he had to go. So I kind
of missed. You know what? I could even hear our engineer laughing from, like, come on, you were not, are you, please say you're lying.
No, there was a problem that occurred during the national anthem. Brad Paisley was singing and...
And it was Steve Yeager, not Steve Garvey. Did I say Steve Garvey? Steve Yeager.
Steve Garvey's been around during this run for the World Series, but it was Steve Yeager behind the plate, and I watched it on the big screen in the toilet. And I explained to Hudson what, you know, who these people were and who Vin Scully was and everything. And then we got to our seats to enjoy the game. Actually, interestingly enough, before we went to our seats, I wanted to get some souvenirs. And I will tell you something so bizarre at Dodger Stadium. It's just so absolutely ridiculous. We go to the team store. There was a line for over an hour. People waiting to buy souvenirs to get to the cashier.
Was it a bobblehead? Was it a bobblehead?
No, it was anything. It was a ball. It was a bat. It was a program. First of all, I don't know why Dodger Stadium, you know, they've got the new ownership and they've done great with the players on the field, but they can't figure out at Dodger Stadium. The food just sucks. It's so behind the times. I go to so many games all over the country and they're still serving those darn Dodger dogs and some other crappy cardboard pizza, and they've got nothing. I went to get a hamburger. I wanted to get a plain hamburger for my 4-year-old son. They said, no, we don't do it. We have pre-made hamburgers with all this crap on it that you would never eat, and he wouldn't either. And then, you know, to wait in line to buy a little stuffed animal that says World Series on it for an hour. People are crazy. People spent so much money to go to the game, and then they spent 3 innings in the store waiting in line to pay for a souvenir.
Sounds like, but you didn't?
I don't want to tell you what I did.
You did. You did.
I don't want to tell you what I did.
You totally waited.
But I told everyone that they could just go on Amazon. I made an announcement, and then some guy screamed over the whole store at the cashier saying, look it, there's an hour wait. Can't you move faster? Are you guys idiots? And then I responded by saying, who are the idiots who pay all this money to see the game and spend an hour in the team store waiting in
line
to buy a $10 suit? Well, actually, the souvenirs were like $40.
But wait, did you say that? Good for you if you did.
It.
I can't stand people like that. There's a huge line. I mean, everybody's, you know, waiting to get something. There's going to be a wait. And you're right, and I'm glad you did that. I always go off, if people go off on waiters in front of me, or, you know, people that are working at a movie theater, which I've seen a couple times, I go after them.
I know you do.
Yeah, I was really surprised that I haven't been physically assaulted.
It's not funny, actually, but
because I cannot stand cruelty or injustice. I guess I saw it, and there was a lot of times I didn't stick up for it, now I'm making up for it.
But, you know, that's in your own mind. It's in the eye of the beholder. We don't know. I mean, there's always another story. In law, there's always another story.
Yeah.
Even with this Harvey Weinstein thing, it was all over the news this week.
Yeah.
And it's crazy how all of these things that just get out of control. I don't know. You know, when I say there's another story, usually you think it's from Harvey Weinstein camp, but more and more we just keep hearing it's from more women who have another story about him.
Yeah.
I mean, Gloria Allred, who was on our show a couple of weeks ago, was all over the news this past week because, you know, she has all these other clients.
Did you see the conference?
Which
with
one?
With the girl that where Harvey...
Where he pulled out the...
Yeah.
What was it? A tampon?
She had a tampon. And it's just disgusting. Really just disgusting. And I'm glad these women are coming out. I mean, that takes a lot of bravery to come out and tell that story.
But why didn't they come out
horrifying.
Before?
Because this is how I look at it. I look at it a lot of these women are very young, right? They've worked their whole lives, whether it's in school, college, whatever, to become an actress. You have this man who can destroy your career within seconds. You don't know what to do. You're scared. You're thinking, if I say something, my whole career, everything I've worked for, everything I've wanted is gone. Not that it's the right decision not to say something, but I think at that point...
Well, at the time it is.
It's scary.
You know, I guess a lot of people are bothered by so many people coming out now. Jackie Mason actually did I don't know if it was funny or not, but he did a little shtick, and he would appreciate me saying that, about how the Hollywood and the liberal left are just kind of silent on this throughout all the past sexual abuse cases, you know, including Harvey Weinstein and all of the other power people in Hollywood.
Right.
You know, and with Bill Clinton as well, but with Donald Trump, they've just, you know, people are crazy and they're saying all this stuff about when certain things about his accusations. So, I mean, that's just Jackie Mason, an 86-year-old guy talking. A lot of people have had something to say, and we are going to look into some of the specific issues that came to light this past week, and one of them was on non-disclosure agreements, NDAs or confidentiality agreements, and there's been a lot of talk about settlements that took place in the past with Bill O'Reilly, with Harvey Weinstein, and a lot of money that was paid, which included a clause that said you can't talk. Whether or not,
you know, that's something that's enforceable. And we heard this week that there were a couple of people who came out on Bill O'Reilly and on Harvey Weinstein and are talking. Zelda Perkins made the news, an assistant to Weinstein in 1998, who had an NDA, and she said she doesn't care. She's going to talk. And then, you know, with Bill O'Reilly, the same thing we see going on. There's been a lot of people, Lisa Wheel, that came out after a $32 million settlement with Bill O'Reilly, and we're hearing all about these things. So we're going to talk today with an expert on this issue, on NDAs and on employment law, Wayne Outen of the Outen and Golden firm in New York, and he is has had a lot of experience in this area. And there are a lot of policy issues, there's legal issues that deal with these confidentiality agreements and non-disclosure agreements. To kick it off, though, we want to talk a little bit about what New York, the state of New York, is doing with Harvey Weinstein and his company, the Weinstein Company. New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman talked about issuing a subpoena to the company to learn more about what they knew, what they didn't know, what information they had about sexual harassment claims, and how that will impact civil and possibly criminal claims against Harvey Weinstein. And in our first segment after this opening, we're going to talk to Paul Derohanessian. It's tough to say that, Derohanessian and Derohanessian. I should be better at saying it, but he is an expert in this area. He was with the Albany, New York DA's Special Assault Unit for over 20 years, looking into sex crimes, and he's a specialist now with his firm in sexual assault cases. We're going to talk to Paul about this evidence that's being obtained from the Weinstein Company and how it might impact the company and, of course, Harvey Weinstein. Go ahead.
You know what I see? You know those scenes in movies when, or even TV shows, when you hear the feds are coming or something's coming, you see like all of a sudden the shredders are going and everybody's burning stuff. And that's how I see it at the Weinstein, whether they're doing it or not. But it's so huge. And I think so many people knew about it. I wonder if we're ever going to get the real truth about who knew what.
Does it really matter at this point?
I don't, you know, if there were people covering up this atrocious behavior, I think if there's any charges, they should be accomplices. So, yeah, I think it does.
Well, you know, I don't know. I think that the behavior needs to be stopped, but it's a whole culture that we're dealing with in employment. I, of course, do workers' compensation, which is a form of employment law. I know a lot about what goes on behind closed doors. I've had a number of sexual harassment claims because sexual harassment claims are workers' compensation claims, or can be if there's damages issues involved with emotional and physical disability and ramifications. So I have seen it over and over again. My voice is just killing me. Do I sound sexy at all? No?
I mean, usually, like, when girls do that, it's a sexiness for a girl, but guys usually, no.
Yeah.
So much. I mean, I guess it's a deeper, raspier voice.
You know, I don't know why you're talking about, you know, sexier for women.
Good one. Okay, that was good. That was good.
All right. Well, we're going to come back after the break. This is Gervie's Law. I'm Alan Gervie. We're going to talk to Paul Derohanessian about Harvey Weinstein and what's in store for the Weinstein Company thanks to the New York Attorney General subpoenas. You don't want to miss it.
As a small business owner, you make every dollar count. So what could you do with $10? Go to Vistaprint.com today and you'll get 500 high-quality custom business cards for only $9.99. That's less than 2 cents per card. And at Vistaprint, your satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed. So it's never been easier to turn 500 strangers into connections. Just visit Vistaprint.com and use promo code 7000 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 7000.
What if hiring could be easier, less time-consuming, with more qualified candidates and faster results? What if hiring could be smarter? Thanks to ZipRecruiter, it can be. With one click, post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards so you don't spend time wondering where the right candidates are searching. Then ZipRecruiter uses its smart matching technology to scan millions of active resumes and notify the most qualified candidates to apply for your job. And the ZipRecruiter dashboard makes it easy to review, rate, and contact candidates all in one place. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter makes it simple for growing businesses of all sizes to hire the right people, no matter the industry. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
We're so confident ZipRecruiter will get you the results you need. We'll let you try it free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
As a small business owner, you make every dollar count. So what could you do with $10? Go to Vistaprint.com today and you'll get 500 high-quality custom business cards for only $9.99. That's less than 2 cents per card. And at Vistaprint, your satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed. So it's never been easier to turn 500 strangers into connections. Just visit Vistaprint.com and use promo code 4000 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 4000.
What if hiring could be easier, with more qualified candidates and faster results? What if hiring could be smarter? Thanks to ZipRecruiter, it can be. With one click, post your job to over 100 top job boards. Then, their smart technology notifies the most qualified candidates to apply. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Try ZipRecruiter free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
You've heard of Murphy's Law, but have you heard of Gervie's Law? Anything that can go wrong can be made right. Now, here are your hosts, Kerry Kasem and Alan Gervie.
All right, we're back. My voice is still the wrestler's voice. Screaming at Dodger Stadium at the World Series. That does it for you. And it's a few days later, and I still can't talk.
That's awesome that you went.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'll tell you, it's hard to shut me up. I wonder if they will be able to shut up the Weinstein Company after all these subpoenas issue to see what they produce. We have been talking about the Harvey Weinstein debacle fiasco. The monster of a guy, apparently. That's what Gloria Allred told us. Was it last week she was talking about it?
Yeah, last week.
Wow, because she's been, you know, on everywhere. And
you know how much I like her.
I
you do.
We're not going to start with Lisa
I don't
Bloom.
Agree. No, we're not going to. We're not going to talk about her daughter. We're going to talk about her and how much I like her. And what I mean, I don't agree with everything she does.
And she was in the news all week again after she was on our show. In fact, she told us that she had a couple of other people calling her. I asked her who was calling and she said, stay tuned.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a couple of press conferences with new accusers and is just getting out of control. And apparently the state of New York has decided they're going to try and do something, even though apparently Hollywood didn't do much for all of these years when so many people knew about what this guy was doing, or at least had some ideas about his bullying that was translated into sexual assaults. And of course, that's just an accusation. I never saw any of it. It never happened to me. At least I don't recall it ever happening. Carrie, you're much better looking than I am.
It did not happen to me.
Great. I'm glad to hear that. We want to talk now to Paul Derhonassian, who is of the Derhonassian. Paul, help me out with your name because I'm trying so hard and it's a very impressive name. I know it's twice because your father was a great attorney in his own right and taught you a lot about how to protect individual rights. But go ahead. Tell us what it is.
Sure. It's Paul Derhonassian.
Derhonassian. See, I'm telling you, Armenian.
Very good. Yes. And there's quite a few in the Los Angeles area.
Oh, yes.
You know, absolutely. And we've had Mark Garagos on the show quite a bit, and he changed his name to make it easier. What about you? You never thought of that?
No, we decided not to do that, and it kind of gave us, you know, our unique identity. There's no question, though, that it is hard to pronounce, but I also say it's easier to remember sometimes, and you stand out a little bit more with a unique name.
I think it does, and it also makes you want to just call you Paul D, which is kind of a cool DJ name.
That I have been called that as well as Paul Alphabet.
That's a good one. Now, you have done a really incredible job over the years with sexual assault cases. You were, of course, with the Albany, New York DA's office for many years, Special Assault Unit, and your firm has... they've had a specialty and expertise in sexual assault cases, and you know a little bit about this. So tell us about New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman's subpoena and why it came about and what we can expect to see the fruits of it.
Sure. This is just one of many legal fronts that have opened up in this case. And what the New York Attorney General is doing in this case and has done in other cases is using the broad-based laws in New York, which basically prohibit forms of discrimination based on sex. They prohibit harassment, and using that as the opportunity to subpoena records. Now, by subpoenaing records, they can do many things. They can find a violation of the civil rights laws, but they can also look for other illegal activities. And ultimately, for example, I think in one of the cases that they like to cite, Con Ed, which is the New York City utility, was required to pay almost $4 million dollars to hundreds of female employees for violation of civil rights. So I think that's one area that the Attorney General can get into. And again, the financial exposure is there.
But let me ask you something, Paul. Before you go on, I want to comment on what you said, because typically we look at subpoenas in their existing litigation where there's parties to a case and they have the subpoena power. What you're talking about is something separate and apart from that. And does it become a political issue when the Attorney General has this kind of power on behalf of its citizens, so to speak, versus just getting involved in an ongoing legal case? Because people don't understand subpoenas. They think, oh, I want to get records. I can just do it. Well, you can't just do it simply unless, of course, you have this kind of power. And then maybe it does become political whether or not subpoenas are issued or not.
Well, I think you make a good point that many people, in fact, who are targets of these types of investigations feel that there is a political component to it. And in fact, if this case didn't have the attention it was getting elsewhere, you know, would this particular legal entity engage in this behavior? There's no question that many cases like this, because of the attention they get, do generate sometimes interest from prosecutors as well as attorney generals that may not be there otherwise. Now, that doesn't mean that it's wrong. It doesn't mean that it's bad or not compromised in some way. It means that, look, if it wasn't for the fact that this case was getting as much attention as it is, there may not be this type of civil rights investigation also. But many targets certainly feel that way, Alan.
Now, what we want to talk about is what they can expect, because you were involved in these kind of investigations for many years. What are they going to look at, and does the Weinstein Company have any defenses? Are they able to file a motion to quash the subpoena or object for burdensome? Because, you know, with the amount of women that have come out, we could think that it was overbroad and burdensome. And I don't mean over. Carrie's looking at me because I said overbroad. That's a legal term, not over abroad. But it could be burdensome with as many accusers as Harvey Weinstein has.
Yeah, they certainly can make that attempt. And I think they will make that attempt to try to limit the exposure of documents. However, I think it's going to be a very tough road to hoe. Usually in investigations by an attorney general or a U.S. attorney into a case, the powers they have to gather documents and information goes way beyond what might be necessary or required to make a case. So their powers are very broad. And remember, it's also not just an exposure here. It's also very onerous on companies to have to do this.
Right.
And the interesting thing that's happened also is Weinstein has sued his former company in Delaware to try to get access to records, documents, and emails because he feels that he needs them to defend himself, but also to help defend the company, which is interesting because he's concerned about the loss of economic value by not having access to these records and documents. So if you look at it, there's many aspects to their of the company and how it may actually adversely affect Harvey Weinstein, he should be concerned. And that's why he has brought his own lawsuit against the company to try to get the records, which probably the attorney general and others may be looking for.
Okay, so for the layman here, I just want to know, and I was talking a little bit about this before, how do you know that things aren't being dumped or burned? Things especially, you know, like paper, like letters like that. I mean, everything is mostly email now. And you can kind of, I think, find those emails even if they've been erased. But what if there's other evidence or people that are just keeping their mouths shut because they don't want to be prosecuted as, I don't know if they could be just because they helped Harvey or they kept secrets?
Yeah, and I think that's always a concern. And look, that's happened in many cases. But as you've probably seen with political cases, it's the cover-up and the actions that are taken later by individuals that can be more damaging. Remember, many of these cases may be past the statute of limitations. They couldn't be prosecuted. Maybe a civil suit can't be brought for someone who was abused 20 years ago. But if they're engaging in misconduct now, like destroying evidence, like intimidating witnesses, like lying under oath, you've just given a tremendous opportunity to prosecutors. So, yes, it can happen. Yes, it's a concern. But it's an awfully dangerous and foolish thing for a target to do because they enhance their exposure even more than the original investigation may expose them to.
Paul, you know, I know I noted in one of the articles that you've been quoted in this week, and you're in the media quite a bit, you mentioned that there was something to look at criminally as well as civilly. Can you explain what you meant by that? And with the subpoena power and this subpoena that is issued, what the authorities may be looking at perhaps criminally as well as civilly?
Yeah, because the criminal, by looking for these documents, what you're looking for perhaps was if there was any element of coercion at some point with individuals or witnesses, asking questions. The next step that investigators might do is take documents and then put people under oath and ask them questions about it. Once you do that, you create a criminal exposure for the person who has to answer questions about the document, whether it's an employee of a company, whether it's a third-party witness. And this is where these types of investigations, which are presumably civil in nature, can morph into a criminal allegation. Very much similar to public corruption cases where individuals may be charged with lying to the FBI, for example, even if their underlying conduct isn't prosecuted.
So a lot of listeners want to know what kind of timing we're looking at. We're hearing the sensational part of the Harvey Weinstein case almost on a daily basis. But when you talk about a subpoena, it's a legal process, and there will be, as you mentioned, probably objections or motions to quash or limitations, legal wrangling, so to speak. What can we be looking at in terms of the fruits of the subpoena actually being able to do something with them?
I think it's a long, long time. And let's look at Bill Cosby, for example. 60 women have made allegations against him. It is only recently that we had the first trial, and only one complainant who was testifying as a victim and one other as a witness in that case. And that took several years before that case actually made it to the courtroom. I think very similarly here, there's so much going on. It's going to take a long, long time before I think anything substantive develops. You may see some settlements along the way, but I think a lot of the major actions by public officials like prosecutors, attorney generals, I think those actions are going to take a while because I think it's a pretty deep pond of material to wade through, as well as individuals to try to question.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I know that, Patty Glaser was on our show not too long ago, and it looks like Harvey has enlisted her. Another guy that enlisted Patty Glaser, who ended up getting fired, was Dov Charney of American Apparel. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with the case. Dov was on our show about a month ago. He ended up suing Patty Glaser's firm, Glaser Weil, because he didn't think that their representation of him against American Apparel was proper. So are we looking at this kind of thing? I mean, we should have Dov back to talk about what Harvey's in store for, because he actually survived and opened up a new company that he's trying to develop. But
I think they're completely different. I do. I think Dove had a couple people he dated at work. He made some comments that were not very good. Weinstein is like, he's, I mean, if all these allegations, some of these allegations are true, he's in big trouble. And go ahead.
Well, Carrie, you make the point that there's a broad variety of allegations here. They run the gamut from inappropriate comments to exposing oneself to forcible sexual relations. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's quite a gamut of allegations that have been made. And I think some of those more serious ones, which involve potential criminal activity, forcible sexual relations, are the ones that he's going to be probably the most concerned about. And those are that's what the Manhattan DA's office is looking at, as well as Los Angeles DA's office and London, which this case is not just bi-coastal, it's international in terms of the authorities who are looking into criminal behavior. But again, as you point out, there's a lot of different allegations made here, and they're not all the same. I think the way it's been covered, unfortunately, is we don't distinguish the nature of all of these allegations.
Paul, we have to take a quick break. Can you stick with us for a few minutes? I just want to pick up on what you're saying. We do have to pay our advisors here, our advertisers. That's who they are, and they advise me that I have to take a break. You're listening to Gervais Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Everyone should experience the luxury and comfort of sleeping on an adjustable bed. And thanks to the affordable selection at Revive by Living Spaces, you can. Starting at just $495, our power adjustable bases are designed with a variety of smart features that provide the best in comfort and technology for healthier sleep. And for a limited time, you can even get a Revive memory foam queen mattress and power adjustable base for just $795. Only at Revive by Living Spaces.
Living Spaces.
Shred the truth.
We think he's planning an attack.
Sell the lies. The Epic's original series, Berlin Station, returns.
They have a problem.
Let's go, let's go.
Timely and provocative.
Europe is in chaos.
Germany will rise.
The spy thriller you can't miss.
If he thinks for one second that he's being played, we're all dead.
With Ashley Judd, Richard Armitage, and Kiki Palmer.
Who says there are no friends in espionage?
Berlin Station, Sundays 9, 8 central, only on Epics. Watch free episodes now at epics.com.
Talk Radio 790 KABC News Update. I'm Shelley Bonner. A car collided with an expo line today in the Exposition Park area near USC. The motorist was hospitalized with injuries, but no one on the train was hurt. The collision took place about 11:20 a.m. between the Jefferson USC station and the Expo Vermont station at Watts Way. Expo line trains were experiencing about a 15-minute delay because of that crash. Southland gas prices continued to tick up today. The average price of a gallon of self-serve regular gasoline in LA County rose 0.2 cents to $3.06.8. On Wednesday, Southern California gas stations will be allowed to start selling the cheaper winter blend of gasoline. However, state gas taxes are also scheduled to rise that day. The Kings face the Bruins in Boston. Join us for the pregame show starting at 3:30 this afternoon on your home for Kings hockey, 790 KABC. KABC SoCal weather, plenty of sunshine today. Highs mid to upper 70s at the beaches, mid 80s to lower 90s inland. More news coming up and continuous coverage at KABC.com. I'm Shelley Bonner, Talk Radio 790 KABC News.
Welcome back to Gervey's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, we're back. We're talking about Harvey Weinstein. What else are we going to talk about? Carrie?
It's everywhere. It's all over the news. How could we not talk about it?
And we have with us Paul Darohanassian of the Darohanassian and Darohanassian Law Firm in New York. He was a special assistant with the Albany, New York DA's office for many years. Now they handle sexual assault cases. Paul, before the break, you were talking about the various jurisdictions that are looking into potential criminal allegations against Harvey Weinstein pursuant to perhaps the subpoena or any other evidence they may have. Tell us a little bit about statute of limitations, because that's what we hear about a lot on our show. People say, well, you know, these things happened a long time ago. How are they ever going to proceed with any either civil or criminal allegations?
I think that's one of the big legal barriers in this case. From both a civil point of view as well as a criminal point of view. From a civil point of view, you're going to be limited to basically, you know, 2, 3, 4 years to bring an action. From a criminal point of view, New York after June 23, 2006 has no statute of limitations, but before that, it's 5 years. But also, if it's non-forcible, and many sexual assaults are not of the forcible nature, they may be just saying no, you have a 5-year statute of limitations. California has a 10-year statute of limitations, and if you look at a lot of these allegations, they're past statute of limitations for a criminal prosecution.
Right.
Now, that's why I think it's going to be tempting to prosecutors to try to find some way to criminalize some other aspect of the case. And again, that may be people who financial improprieties, for example, the misuse of funds, perhaps, that went off victims, perhaps, again, obstruction and perjury, as we talked about. The other problem with the passage of time is that it affects the ability to get evidence in the case. I mean, documents may be legitimately destroyed in time. Witness memories fade. So I think in trying to bring accusations that go back 20 years, it's one thing for a person to say, I remember being harassed, being forced into relations. Another thing to try to get, for example, hotel records and phone records that may help corroborate those allegations. So I think it's a challenge for investigators who may want to actually go after a particular act.
What about
that in the Cosby case? That's exactly why they've had so many problems bringing successful cases and charges against him.
And there are others as well, obviously. What about the Weinstein Company? Quickly, do you think that they're shaking in their boots because of things that they should have done? You know, we saw this in the Joe Paterno, as you're talking about Penn State. Are we going to see this again, but with a major Hollywood production company?
I think you're spot on one of the bigger issues here and exposure is to the company. And if you think about that, it's not just that they're exposed if they knew. And that's what I think investigators are also interested in trying to establish. What did people know about his behaviors? Because once you show that, you show a liability. When you see this foreseeability that someone can be a predator, you have a responsibility as an employer. And that's why most companies today treat these allegations so seriously, because of the exposure. And the other risk here, remember, is he himself has an equity interest in the company. One of the reasons he's brought this lawsuit against his company to get records, he says, is to try to protect his interest and the viability of the company, because he feels that the company may be too willing to accept allegations
right,
that he can rebut. So it's a huge exposure for the business and company. And because it is such a big company, that's why you see so many lawyers going after them, because it is a very deep pocket.
It sounds like the whole situation is going to make some strange bedfellows, because not sure who is going to be friends with who and whether Bob, the brother, will have anything to say about it, which he already has. And now apparently there may be some allegations against him, too. So it's going to be a mess. We appreciate all your comments. Paul Darohanassian. This case, and keep us posted, because we might have to check in with you. I don't think it's going to happen so soon, but we may see some breaks in this case and see what happens in the future. Thanks for being with us today.
Alan and Carrie, it's been my pleasure.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Thank you.
You know, Carrie, when we talk about these situations where women are signing agreements, because what Paul talked about was there's some liability potentially for the company as well. But then you hear about these NDAs, the non-disclosure agreements or the confidentiality agreements. And we want to change it up a little bit now and talk about that. Talk about non-disclosure agreements. We're going to welcome to the show Wayne Outen. Now, Wayne Outen is an expert. His firm is Outen and Golden. They are in New York. He's the founding and managing partner, and he co-chairs the firm's executives and professionals and whistleblower retaliation practice group. He has a lot of experience, and if you read a little bit about Wayne, you'll find out that underlying his job as a tough attorney, he's a really good guy who is focused, and his values seem to guide his firm and trying to do the right thing. Wayne, welcome to Gervie's Law.
I'm glad to be with you.
I'm glad that you are with us. Now, we are hearing all this week about these NDAs, the non-disclosure agreements. Of course, Zelda Perkins, an assistant to Harvey Weinstein, came out, talked about an agreement that they had in 1998, where her and another person got approximately $425,000 to split. They had an NDA. She basically said she doesn't care about it. Now, talk about the confidentiality agreement, because there's two different types. When you're talking about a non-disclosure or confidentiality with respect to a settlement after the fact, that's one situation. And then you have some that may exist without a settlement that employers have you sign just to protect interests and proprietary information.
Yes, well, I'm glad you made that distinction. Yes. The kind of NDAs that companies ask employees to sign to protect the company's confidential and proprietary information are very common and generally are enforceable if they're reasonable in their scope. The other kind of NDAs that we're talking about recently essentially are parts of a settlement where in exchange for money and a release of claims, parties agreed to keep not only the amount of the settlement confidential, but also the underlying facts and circumstances.
Now, wouldn't you think that under the second scenario, when you're talking about an agreement, a contract, there was give and take, there was some consideration given, attorneys probably advised the parties about the confidentiality agreement, obviously the person who is accepting the money. So why should they be able to, after the fact, breach that? And shouldn't there be some strong implications to that in order to preserve the privity of the agreement?
Well, your question assumes that the person is free to breach the agreement with impunity. That's not actually the state of the law right now. It may be the way the law is going, but right now, even though it's against public policy, broadly speaking, to allow somebody who's a serial harasser or predator to keep buying people silent and keep on with the bad behavior, even though that's not a good public policy, these kind of contracts are allowed. They're not illegal. And the next step in the process, perhaps as a result of all of this public discussion about these issues, might be the enactment of statutes that make unenforceable certain kinds of non-disclosure agreements, such as agreements that are intended to hide criminal conduct. And in fact, California is the only state that I know of at the moment that actually has a statute along those lines.
Wayne, we have to take a quick break. Can you hold on to that thought?
Yeah.
And we're going to take a quick break and we'll get right back to you. You're listening to Gervie's Law with Alan Gervie. I'm Carrie Kasem. We'll be right back.
Get Get your home set for Thanksgiving with the best brands for less at Rent-A-Center. From living rooms to dining rooms to 4K TVs, you can splurge without spending big. Plus, get guaranteed two-day delivery when you order in-store before November 16th. Only at Rent-A-Center. Big brands, small payments. Rental purchase lease transaction. Participating locations only. Two-day delivery applies to in-store agreements for in-stock items rented by November 16th and delivered to addresses within the normal service area of the store. See manager for details.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Everyone should experience the luxury and comfort of sleeping on an adjustable bed. And thanks to the affordable selection at Revive by Living Spaces, you can. Starting at just $495, our power adjustable bases are designed with a variety of smart features that provide the best in comfort and technology for healthier sleep. And for a limited time, you can even get a Revive memory foam queen mattress and power adjustable base for just $795. Only at Revive by Living Spaces.
Living Spaces.
With $1,000, you could buy nosebleed seats to the big series.
It's that was a $25 beer.
Or you could use that money to pay for the damages done to your vehicle.
Come on, guys, really?
Ready to win? Listen at 6 a, 9 a, 12 noon, and 3 p for a shot at $1,000 four times a day. The new 4K a day on 790 KABC.
You're listening to Gervey's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Wow, that woke me up.
Right up. I'm dancing.
I don't know about that. Yeah, we're talking about non-disclosure agreements, otherwise known as confidentiality agreements, and we have on the line from New York, Wayne Outen from Outen and Golden, and he is telling us that, you know, these agreements are in place for a reason, and maybe things are changing, but the employers who typically will put these in place, they are trying to shut people up. And isn't it true, Wayne, that it's working? Or it has been up to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. In fact, it has been working, as evidenced by some of the serial harassers who have been revealed, particularly over the last year or so, Roger Ailes and now, of course, Harvey Weinstein. But this is not the first time, and there are others that just came out today, in fact, in
right.
the news. So, yeah. But this may be the time when the tide is turning. And the law turns because of this episode, these episodes, and the courts start deciding, maybe with help from the legislatures, that it's against public policy to enforce these kind of non-disclosure agreements when they're intended to cover up certain kinds of conduct, such as sexual harassment
right.
and certainly sexual assault.
Now, you mentioned legislation, and Gretchen Carlson, former talking head at Fox, has been pretty outspoken about this subject. She actually wrote a book called Be Fierce, Stop Harassment, and Get Your Power Back. And she wants to go to the legislators and get bipartisan support for a bill that would address this issue. Now, I don't see how, with all the power and the lobbying behind some large employers and insurance companies and other companies that have a lot of weight and a lot of pull with the legislators, how the heck would a bill ever look that would protect people who have been harassed by, like you say, serial or maybe not even serial harassers?
Well, certainly on a federal level, it's not likely that something like this is going to happen. But contract law is a matter of state law in the first place, and it's certainly the case that many states have recognized that certain kinds of contracts are simply not enforceable as a matter of public policy. I mean, going back decades and even hundreds of years, contracts to marry or contracts to commit a crime,
right,
are unenforceable. And more recently, contracts that would prevent somebody from blowing the whistle on certain kinds of illegal conduct, such as securities fraud and such as environmental hazards. Those kinds of contracts have been found to be unenforceable as a matter of public policy in some state legislatures and in some courts.
Yet.
And this may be an area where we're moving in the same direction in the instances of sexual assault and sexual harassment.
Yet, one of the things you're presupposing when you say that is that the facts are cut and dried, and we know in these situations they are not. So when you have disputes and when you have a he said, she said type situation, doesn't it make sense to, and I'm playing devil's advocate because I'm really on your side, but doesn't it make sense to have some protections for the people who are accused of the harassment? And isn't a settlement, albeit $32 million, maybe a little too much, but isn't a settlement making both sides not happy because you're not going to go through the hazards of litigation?
Well, sure. I'm a lawyer in private practice, and I represent employees all day, every day, who have all kinds of problems at work, whether it's a termination or discrimination or harassment, and typically these matters end up getting settled short of a final resolution in litigation, and typically those agreements include agreements to keep the settlement confidential. It's standard operating procedure for lawyers who represent employees, and frankly for lawyers in other areas of practice too, who represent individuals. So certainly it would change the dynamics of the situation if non-disclosure agreements of certain kinds were prohibited. And there are certain areas in which this already happens. For example, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, as a matter of policy, when it settles a case that it has brought, will never, ever enter into a non-disclosure agreement. And everybody knows that that's the case, so there's no point in asking for it. And if it becomes the norm rather than the exception that non-disclosure agreements of that pertain to certain kinds of narrow conduct are not going to be enforced by the courts, then it just takes that out of the equation and the case would get settled on its merits.
Now, if Liz Wiehl actually went to go testify against him because other accusers came out.
And Bill O'Reilly.
I'm sorry, did I say Bill O'Reilly? Excuse me. Went to go and testify against him. Would her, it seems like her testimony could be thrown out. Couldn't it?
No.
How is that not possible if you've agreed to something?
If somebody is subpoenaed to appear in court, or a court orders them to appear, they must appear, and they must testify truthfully. And no court is going to hold somebody responsible for complying with the legal requirement that they appear when summoned and they testify truthfully.
But if they're only appearing because she came out and said something, now if they found her through other means or other ways, yes, but if she comes out and says, hey, look at me over here, this happened to me, and she has a non-disclosure, that wouldn't change anything?
Oh, you're talking about where she is the one who initiates bringing it out?
Right.
Correct.
She breaches it.
Right, right.
Well, yeah, okay. I thought you were talking about somebody who was subpoenaed into a procedure.
No. I understand that, yeah.
Yeah, so, well, that raises exactly the issue. Should the person in that situation who has agreed in exchange for money to sign a release and also, among other things, perhaps not to disclose the circumstances, and then turns around and does disclose it, should she have to forfeit the money or some other economic consequence? That's exactly the public policy issue that we're talking about here.
It's a legal issue, too, because we're talking about a breach of contract.
Right.
Yes, but that's exactly right. We're talking about a breach of contract, but as I said a few minutes ago, as a matter of public policy, there are certain kinds of contracts that will not be enforced by the courts, such as a contract that says, in exchange for a certain amount of money, you contracted, you will never go to the SEC and blow the whistle on
right.
securities fraud. That's illegal. I mean, it's not enforceable.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to come down to a case-by-case basis. And I'll tell you, when people hear $32 million settlement that Bill Riley provided for Liz Wheeler, it tends to make them think there must have been something wrong there. You don't give away $32 million, even though Bill Riley said that it's all, in his word, crap, and it's horrible what he went through, and it was politically and financially motivated. I guess that begs the question, why are you paying $32 million?
Right. Yes, right. Well, of course. That's the same thing could be said of virtually any settlement that contains
right.
a very substantial amount of money in exchange for, among other things, a non-disclosure agreement. So, and by the way, go back to the hypothetical about the woman stepping forward in breach of the contract. It may matter, as it turns out, as the law evolves in this area, in what manner the woman comes forward. If she goes to the tabloids and,
right.
mm-hmm.
and talks about it, then maybe the contract would be enforceable. If, on the other hand, she goes to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission or to the local district attorney aspect of the government and says, this is what happened to me, do your job and enforce the law against
harassment
or sexual assault, then that probably should be protected conduct.
We're going to have to stop at that. That's an excellent point, Wayne, though, and I really appreciate that, because you did differentiate between the media and the authorities, and maybe that's where the future lies in improving the system. Wayne Outen, I want to thank you for being on Gervie's Law. Appreciate your comments.
My pleasure.
Carrie, that's going to do it. Wow, some more talk about Harvey Weinstein, Bill O'Reilly, Bill Cosby.
I don't think it's going to end anytime soon.
No. Nope. Yeah. As long as we have men and women and you know, horny men, I think.
Unethical. Unethical men.
Powerful men.
That's all it's about.
Next week at this time, we're going to know who won the World
Yay!
Series. Go Dodgers. I got tickets to the seventh game if it goes to the seventh
game. Did you really?
I do.
Oh,
so if it's on
so
the
lucky.
Seventh game, I'll tell you what it is all about, but it's a close one. It's a great series. We will see you all next week. Thanks for listening.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.